Well, here we are, another new year. You've seen a bunch of things on the overhead about Happy New Year. It seems like only yesterday we were saying that for 2019. Now look at us. If you hadn't guessed by now, our subject this morning is going to be revolving around the shepherd and his sheep. Had a good, lighthearted thing that happened this morning. John texted me and said, you got any special songs you'd want to sing today? And I said, well, we're going to be talking about shepherds and the sheep. And he sent me one back, no goats? So no, I won't be talking to any goats in here this morning. So, but anyway, it is a pleasure to see you. I've been thinking about this particular subject for a while now. And I started just thinking about how really simply God has tried to gain our attention by using in the New Testament parables that compare to ordinary things. And one of the most ordinary things that he tried to do was compare us with sheep and a shepherd that leads us. If you will turn to Psalms 23, that's where we're going to start. I know you're all familiar with this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. A shepherd is always on the lookout for a sheep, and the sheep know him. They will follow him anywhere that he takes them, because they trust and believe in him. They trust that he's going to carry them to green pastures for their food. He trusts that they're going to carry them to still waters and not rushing flood waters to get their water. Do we trust that God is going to lead us into green pastures? Do we trust that God is going to be our shepherd and carry us to still waters? That's a question we have to ask ourselves each day. And sometimes life throws a lot of bad things at us. And that's when our trust and faith will be put to the test. But God, in His infinite wisdom, made a pathway for every one of us to get to heaven. Everybody in the outside world that's not in here today, nor not in the building. How many does God want to lose? Zero. If you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 17. And down in verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. I got to put my glasses on. I forgot to pull them out. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Think about what's contained in those few short verses there. The little ones. I see a little one sitting back there, and from time to time we get a visit from a little one, or we go to see a little one, and I know many of you do. They are totally dependent upon those that take care of them for food, shelter, safety, clothing, whatever. And that's exactly how God wants us to be dependent on Him. Totally. Without any reservation, to trust and believe that He loves us, that He cares about us, and that He will take care of us. So many people don't understand that concept. But if you look at these little ones, if you take a little one and just put him out there outside the doors and let him go on his own, he's going to probably get out in the road, get hurt, fall in a ditch, get hurt. If we don't tend to him for a while, he's going to starve, going to get dirty, have a clean up, get sick, all kinds of things that can happen. Because they're totally dependent upon those who take care of them. Does God take care of you? Certainly does. Each and every day, every minute of our lives. Again, God throughout the New Testament, Jesus used parables to try to get people's attention, try to get His disciples' attention, and the attention of those around them by using common, ordinary things that people were adjusted to knowing that they need to do. And common, ordinary things that if this particular incident happened to you, this is what you'd be doing. The whole gist of all of those things was we need to be seeking God.
Art, if you will, turn over to John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Think about that for a minute. I know most of us never messed around much with sheep, but a sheep knows the voice of his master. And he will not go with some strange voice. He will follow that master wherever he goes, wherever he takes him. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will not go out and find pasture." Here is for us, because the door is always open to Jesus Christ. It never closes. It is there to be open for us as long as we live. "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." Think about that verse for just a minute. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Jesus went through all that torture, all that pain on our behalf. The biggest pain, the biggest hurt that I think he might have had was knowing that he had to bear all those sins on his shoulders. Sin which is totally foreign to God, which was totally foreign to Jesus. But yet he's got to be burdened with that on our behalf. The very people that he came down to help, the very people he came down to save, the very people that he went through all of this torture and all of these things for, rejected him. Have you ever been rejected? Does it hurt? Have you ever tried to talk to a friend, a family member about Christ, and they don't want to hear it? They don't want to talk about it.
Does it hurt you inside? Knowing what the end will be if they do not change their ways? I know most all of us have been through that in our lifetime. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them.
Think about that for just a second. A hireling. Somebody you hire to do a job. Well, they're going to turn, if things get tough, they're going to turn their back on you and run. And that's what he's talking about here. Jesus, our good shepherd, will never leave us. He will never turn his back on us. As long as we're trying to do the will of his Father. Jesus will always be there. Jesus is always wanting us to come back, straighten our lives up, and live the way He would have us to live. And what's wrong with that way of life? What does He expect us to do? To love God, and to love each other, and to keep God's commandments. Why? Because it's the path to eternal life. Because it's a path that the sting of death will hold no more over our heads. Because death to the Christian is only the beginning of eternal life. Do you want to live forever? You want to live with God? You want to live in heaven? You want to live with the loved ones that have gone on before? That it's something to think about, not only today, while we're sitting between these walls, but when we go out into the workplace, the school places, the social activities that we're engaged in. The true test of being a Christian is when we walk out these doors. And get back in that world that tries to pull you away. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not at the fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Who's he leaving out? Not only his own sheep, but us too, the ones that have gone astray, that he has brought back into his fold, and make us all one big fold. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. You ever thought just how deep Jesus' love was? Have you ever thought about when he was getting scourged with those leather straps and usually pieces of bone or something attached to the leather, just ripping his back apart? You ever thought about thorns? Most of us in our lifetime have experienced getting stuck by a thorn, and it hurts and it stays so. But can you think about a crown of those thorns being pushed down on your forehead? Just how agonizing that must be. Do you think about having nails? And I'm not talking about sharp nails like we have, but
rough nails driven through your hands and your feet. The pain. I often wondered just how much love that had to be. Because at any time, Jesus could have prayed to His Father and said, Father, these people don't care. They don't love You. They don't love Me. Let's just end this whole thing right now. But instead, He decided to endure all that because God had given Him that assignment and He was going to carry through with it no matter what. And I mentioned a while ago, being rejected was probably, in my opinion, one of the most hurtful things that He had to suffer. Because it was hurting inside. It was not only the outside that was hurting, but the inside which hurts the most. The people you came to help, people you love so much, you went through all this agony and torture for, and they made fun of you, rejected your message, did not care about hearing about your Father God. It's just amazing when you really stop, take the time, put a little thought into what those days must have been like. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, He has a demon and he is mad. Why do you listen to him? Just exactly what I was saying. The very people. Does that still happen today? From time to time, when we go through sins, do we reject Christ? Do we make mockery of that crucifixion? Do we really feel down in our heart how much we must hurt God, how much we must hurt Jesus when we get into doing things, the very things that He wants us to stay away from? Does it hurt you when one of your children, one of your grandchildren, one of your family go astray? Don't want to listen to you? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked into the temple and Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. That always gets me. Here Jesus had been roaming the countryside, doing all these miraculous things. And they've seen it, from raising the dead to healing the blind, the crippled, casting out demons. Tell us plainly. He has already showed them plainly who He is. Just like we will show the world outside of these doors plainly who we really are. Am I just a pew sitter, or do I put into action the words of this Bible, the words of God, the words of Jesus, in my
everyday life outside these doors.
Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But it put it to them real plainly, didn't it? But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any snatch from them from out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Turn back to Psalms 23, please. Starting in verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about those verses in Psalms 23. Take time to read them. One sentence at a time, and take time to put thought into it. You know, in the black class, the last quarter or so, we've been studying Ecclesiastes. Story about Solomon. Had all the wisdom you could ever want, all the money, all the power, all the glory. And in Ecclesiastes, it talks about all of these things that we put such value on are pure vanity and vexation of spirit. At the end of chapter 12, he sums it all up in a little statement. The whole duty of man is to serve God and keep His commandments. None of this other stuff makes any difference. The whole duty of man is to serve God and to keep His commandments. I got one last point, one last thing I'd like to go to. If you will turn over to John chapter 17, in verse 20, Jesus, knowing all things He had to go through, made prayers. He prayed for Himself first that He would carry His Father's will out. Not that He would just abandon all the plan that had been made, but that He would carry His Father's will out. Secondly, He prayed for the disciples and the apostles that He got. The third prayer is the one I want us to think about, because it pertains to you, to you, to you, to you, and to me. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The words that are written down for us to have with us.
that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Live our life like Jesus and God instructed us to show that we belong to our God, to our Jesus. Show that we love Him.
And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be just, may be one just as we are in one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. You loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. The whole duty of man is to love God and keep His commandments. God loved us so much that He sent a part of Him to suffer all that pain, all that agony on our behalf. Loving God and loving each other, most important things that we'll ever do in this life. Remember in the New Testament what God told us? What good does it do a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's your soul worth? Your soul was purchased at a high price. I want you to know that I truly believe that sitting in this audience today, these people that are sitting here love God, and they love each other. Now, let us each dedicate ourselves in this new year to pass that love on to people outside these doors, to the people we work with, to the people we socialize with, to the people we go to school with, to the people we come in contact with. Show by our actions that we love God and that we want to keep His commandments. Now I'm going to leave that train of thought with you